Now, we know the story, of course, that God had a wonderful plan that through Joseph, that God would spare Israel and the whole family connection. 66 souls would go down into Egypt. They would survive. And, of course, many years later, over 1 million people would go out of Egypt and form, after their wilderness time, the new Israel in the land that God had promised unto them. Now, we need to take note today that fathers, even Christian fathers, they face difficult things, just like Jacob.
Today is Children's Day, and we're thankful for this opportunity to bring a message to fathers. We will also have boys and girls singing for us from our Sunday school hour, and I trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you join in and hear the message of the gospel today from our Free Presbyterian Church on Father's Day. And we wish every father God's help and grace to glorify God in the role of father to your children and your family. May the Lord be your mighty helper. Stay tuned now as we move to our message.
In the time remaining, I want to speak a little bit to dads. Jacob, of whom we have been learning a little already in the story about Joseph, there was a day when he said, "All these things are against me." That is, when Joseph was lost, at least to his understanding, he was gone forever. And then when Benjamin was in Egypt and Simeon was undertaking to be surety, and they had to go back down to Egypt because of the famine that seemed no other way to survive, and it just was one strike after another, and Jacob lamented, "All these things are against me." Now, we know the story, of course, that God had a wonderful plan that through Joseph, that God would spare Israel and the whole family connection. 66 souls would go down into Egypt. They would survive. And, of course, many years later, over 1 million people would go out of Egypt and form, after their wilderness time, the new Israel in the land that God had promised unto them. Now, we need to take note today that fathers, even Christian fathers, they face difficult things, just like Jacob. And there are times when there are reverses and problems, and dads might say, "All these things are against me." And that's when we are called to live by faith, that our Heavenly Father knows what He's doing and that He has, in the end, a particular plan and purpose. And of course, every father wants to see their children blessed. We want to see our children do greater things for God than we could ever do. We want God's blessing to be upon them. And so we would all pray, "Lord, give us sons and daughters like Joseph, that your blessing will be upon them." So today we come to the task of how to be a godly and a faithful father. The first thing is study to know your Heavenly Father. You will never be a good, godly, earthly father until you really, truly know your Heavenly Father. Now, I see a whole lot of failures in Jacob, and he was no perfect dad. He made a lot of mistakes. In fact, that idea of parading Joseph with a special coat turned out to be not a very wise step. And we are called to be imitators of God. We are to follow in His footsteps and seek His likeness. And of course, those who are strangers to God cannot be godly and cannot be God-like because they don't know Him. And that requires us to study God's nature and to get to know His character. Think of a boy growing up who very seldom sees his dad. Maybe he's in the military. Maybe he's a long-distance driver. Maybe he works shifts that he is usually asleep when his dad is home, or vice versa. When the kid's at home, his dad's asleep. He's on shift. He can't participate in normal life, and the child grows up barely knowing his own dad. And so how can he be like him? How can he learn to imitate his ways? Therefore, we as Christians need to know, study, learn, and enjoy fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Now, that's done by learning the attributes of God. God has characteristics, or sometimes they're called His perfections, because everything about God is perfect. And we can be imitators. Now, there are many things about God that we can never be. We can never be infallible. We can never be eternal. We can never be infinite. We can never be unchangeable. Change for us is necessary. If we don't change, there's no hope for us. Change for us is a necessary thing, but never necessary for God. So there are those things about God that we cannot ever claim or attain to. But there are many things about God that are transferable to us by degree. These are called the communicable attributes of God. And you can have them in your heart, in your life. And there is God's wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And if you are going to be a godly or a God-like father, you need to pray for those things, that the God who is all-wise imparts wisdom to you. And you think of Jacob in those times of bitter disappointment, wondering what is going on, and he needs to learn God is wise. God is allowing this. God is working to and for the good. And we learn to trust Him. And we pray for that wisdom. We also pray for God's power. Now, God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. But He gives strength to us. And you know, being a dad requires energy and strength. Strength of character, strength of principle, when to say yes, the power to say no, and the ability to lead. All of these things dads need to do. You can't just come home from work after however many hours, and you may be weary in body from the work of the day. You cannot just fall into your lazy boy chair and watch television while you've got kids in the home. You're not being a dad to them. You need energy. You need participation, leadership, guidance, wisdom, interaction. And all of that takes strength. And you need to pray for that. Holiness. There needs to be in your life a likeness to God in God's character of purity. Things that are right and good, that are true and wholesome, and they ought not just to be a list pinned up to your fridge. They ought to be lived out in your life. And as you live godly, holy, a pure life, knowing when to turn off that television, knowing when to avoid temptation and the lusts of the flesh and the things of the sin of this world, by living godly in a holy way that pleases your Heavenly Father, then you will be given that power to live. Justice, oh boy. How many times do kids come to their dad and say, "That's not fair"? and even little tiny tykes, they seem to have this inner sense of fairness. He got one, I didn't. He's got a red one, I got a blue one. That's not fair. And this sense of fairness is so ingrained in our human nature. It's the way we're created. We're created in God's image. We have this sensitivity to justice. What is fair and good? And if you're going to be a godly father, you need to have a keen sense of justice and an acute awareness of what is pleasing and is right before God. Now, that doesn't mean that you give every time you go to the store and you say, now, I want, well, we've had five children, I want five popsicles and I want them all purple because I want to give all the kids exactly the same and seem to be fair. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a standard of justice where right and wrong is upheld. And where you do the right should the stars fall. That's justice. That's the standard of a God who is just. And if we are going to be godly parents, we need that standard in our homes. Then we come to goodness, and that includes God's mercy. There's one thing that is an absolute essential in a Christian home, and that is mercy. The kindness, the pity, the tender, long-suffering of a godly father. And let me tell you, that's worth more than all the gold in the world. If you have a dad like that, you are blessed. Now, I think every dad has that in measure. We all have some of it. But we need to pray for more of it. That we be men, and I suppose I'm preaching to dads in particular here today, but we be men who are known for mercy. So that a child, when it does the wrong thing, smashes a window, did that ever happen? I remember playing in our farmyard, and I don't know was it a tennis racket or a bat or what I had, but that window pane got smashed. And I knew it wasn't good, and I knew my dad wouldn't be pleased, but I also knew it wouldn't be the end of the world. I also knew that I could come clean and ask for forgiveness. And that spirit of mercy, forgiveness, is very essential. If you're going to have good relations, good influence, be a godlike father in your home, you need to exercise the mercy of God. Like the prodigal, he knew that when he would return home, that he would at least be reinstated as a servant. Now, the story shows the heart of God. He did far more than that. He received him as a son, full unconditional love, and that's the love of God to us. And of course, even when our children do the wrong thing, we need to have that unconditional love. We love them because they're our children, not because they prove themselves in various ways. The other area is truth. God is a God of truth. He's the God who cannot lie. And you need, Dad, a reputation among your children. If Dad said it, that's it. That's it. There's nothing to add. There's nothing to take away. Dad said it. His word is truth. And that makes us father-like, like our Heavenly Father. Now, when we know God, we know His character, we know what pleases our Heavenly Father, then we will desire to live in His fear and in His fellowship. Now, that fear is not you know, trembling like a leaf every time you see your dad come through the door. But it is that fellowship, that sweet communion that works harmony in your heart, and you don't want anything to break it. And of course, every boy, girl will walk in a dad's footsteps and seek to be close to him. Now, as a Christian, we want to walk in God's footsteps. We want to live in close fellowship with him. And God's approval is very important to us. It's like a boy when he gets his first bike. Now, I'm assuming here that the boy has saved up himself his own money, and he has worked hard, and now it's the day to go and get that new bike. And he comes home with his new bike, and he shows it to his dad. And he can't wait until his dad sees it, because dad's approval is hugely important. And if his dad comes out and, oh, I don't like the tires, don't like the brakes, they're not going to last long, it's going to get rusty, that's a terrible bike. Well, the child is going to be crushed. My dad doesn't approve. That's how we should live as a Christian. Every decision, every direction we take, we should be desiring the approval of our Heavenly Father. And when we know his character, and we know his attributes, we know his commandments, we know the things that please him. And we can live seeking God's approval in our lives. And of course, God is the model. The Lord taught in prayer that if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more doth your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Our heavenly Father is greater and better. There's always the how much more when it comes to the nature of God. And we will live in his fear and in his fellowship. I wonder, Dad, are you walking in healthy fellowship with God so that your life is approved of God, that it matches up to his will and his desire, and he can bless you for it? If you're doing that, so you've studied who God is, the fear, the desire for God's blessing and approval is in your heart and in your life, then the natural thing is you will instill that in your children. You will ask them if their ways are pleasing to the Lord. Now, this is the language of the Christian home. Does this please God? Usually kids are told, you just wait till your dad gets home. You just wait. You're in trouble now. But the conversation really should be, does this please God? Not just in a scolding tone, but in approval too. And make the child think it through. Make the child think through what they did, if it is or it's not, whether it's something to rejoice in or to repent over. And you can say at times, and you should say at times, I'm sure that your Heavenly Father is well pleased with what you've just done. That's well pleasing to God. And so you are the helper now to enable your children to live a life that is well pleasing to God. The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If any man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will make our abode with him. There's a life lived to please the Lord and our Heavenly Father.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here at Cloverdale. Thank you for being a part of our program, and I trust that the Lord has already blessed you through His Word on this Father's Day message. And I pray that God will bless families. This is the bedrock of our society. God has ordained the marriage of one man, one woman, the birth of boys and girls into families. That is God's way. And we pray that God will bless the families of our church and indeed of our nation. Now today we come to a pastoral visit. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2 is the text that I want to share with you while you might be going through some very difficult things in your body, in your mind, in your soul, and as you seek to walk with God in this world. And here is a wonderful passage that speaks to us in trouble. Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. My very first memory of the value of this text was when a friend of mine was visiting a little girl in hospital who was quite ill, and there were a lot of concerns about her health. This was a fellow Bible student, and when we went to visit her, we pulled up in the car at the hospital, and he reached into the back seat, picked up his Bible, and began to look for this verse, Isaiah 43 verse 2. That when we go through waters, rivers, and fire, that the Lord will be with us. Now, I want you to notice at the outset that this is not a promise of no trouble, but a promise for when there is trouble. We are not of the Pentecostal or charismatic persuasion that Christians should never be sick. We do not teach that healing is in the atonement for the body, apart from the fact that one day that we will have new bodies, and yes, by the power of Christ's final redemption, He will bring us into heaven and we will there have perfect bodies. But while we remain in this world, we are in bodies that are subject to aging and to therefore various problems. If it were true that Christians who are under the blood of Christ did not get sick, then there would be no death, and there would be no martyrs. There would be no apostles who have laid down their lives for Christ through great suffering. All would be Disney and full of fun. You would have just a fun Christianity, and we would be called the Fun Presbyterian Church rather than the Free Presbyterian Church. And that's where the full gospel name came from. It was the idea that if you have faith, you will be rich, famous, and healthy all the days of your life. But those who taught those things and brought them into the church in about 100 years ago, because after all, Pentecostalism was born in Azusa Street, Los Angeles, around 1908, all of those have become subject to sickness and death. They're gone. And they had the crazy notion that because healing was in the atonement, that Christians would never be sick. So here is a promise for the Christian to have on hand for the day of trouble. And the Bible says that it's going to come. It says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fires, thou shalt not be burned, not nor the flame kindle upon thee." This reference to waters and fire stands for all kinds of trouble. It's like us saying, when you go through the mill, or you've been under pressure. This is a manner of speaking when we talk about going through fire and water. When we have to go through trouble in our lives, we speak in that kind of language. But it covers a whole array of things. And we will go through trouble. By virtue of our sin nature, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And, of course, by virtue of our faith, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And the Lord warned us not to fear those who kill the body, but those who kill the soul. But, of course, it is blessed for the Christian to know that when trouble comes in any shape or form, the Lord gives us a promise to help us. And what a promise it is. The essence of the promise is simply this: God's presence will sustain us in earthly troubles. Therefore, fear not, the Lord says, for I am with thee, for I have redeemed thee, for I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh, I wish I could play the hymn, "Now I Belong to Jesus." That is a tremendous and a wonderful hymn. It would thrill our heart. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. May the Lord minister to your heart today and bless you richly. Thank you for this opportunity of paying a little visit. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.